Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Listen, guys, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break your bad habits. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor or waiting until Mercury's in retrograde and lighting your crystals up and lighting the right candles and all that type of silly stuff. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume, and they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong, so instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative award-nominated device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all natural, delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, which gives your fingers plenty to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit. Cho, tell them about it.
First off, I'd like to echo what you said. Fume equals good, not bad. It is good. I was blown away by the taste. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever smelled something that smelled so good and you're like, why can't I breathe that? Well, you can do that with Fume. And as you pointed out, the feel, it is just this fun little perfectly weighted thing that I just, you know, I got to be doing something with my hands at all times. And it's just neat, super well weighted, and it tastes good. It looks beautiful. As I've pointed out on this show before, it looks like a little mini baseball bat that your papa whittled on the porch, but it's got this nice sleek metal front part to it. It's just cool looking stuff, and it tastes good too, and it feels great. Stopping is something that we all put off because it's hard, but switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers and has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Head to tryfume.com. Use promo code POA to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's tryfume.com and use code POA to save an additional 10% off your order today.
Football is back in full swing, baby, with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Nobody's missing out on the action this season. All DraftKings customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Listen, guys, get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use the code POA to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code POA. The crown is yours, Cho.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.sot1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPNY or text HOPNY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for the problem of gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resorts. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in ONT. See sportsbook. DraftKings.com/football. Terms for eligibility, terms and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. I think I did better.
You did better this week. Yeah. If you'll have that nailed here by midseason, you'll be in midseason form by midseason. I believe
that's
it.
Right.
What's up, Airheads? We're back once again in the virtual Airstream studios. What's going on, Cho?
Not much, you know. How are you? I have a couple things. I'm excited about this episode. It's going to be a fun one. I've almost got too much. I don't know how to pack everything in.
Yeah. Well, I've got barely one thing. So, you know, it's good. It's a good ratio. A thing that you showed me this morning. And I was like, yeah, we can talk about that because I do like it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Before we get started, because this goes back to my medieval torture devices, I have a buddy named Thomas. I won't say his last name because I'm afraid he and I both are afraid that people would look at him differently if they knew exactly who this was that was saying this. But he texted me and he was like, buddy, next time we're together, which is a decent amount because he drives through the park when I'm walking, he said, you've got to let me tell you about sandpaper torture, right? He goes, you might not look at me the same. Now, Thomas was over there. He was in Afghanistan or Iraq or one of them. So I'm like, ooh, this is about to be some fucked up stuff, right? So I see Thomas today in the park, and I was like, buddy, you got to tell me about the sandpaper thing. He's like, okay, man, but, like, you know, just like, don't look at me no different, dude. And I was like, okay. He goes, all right. So sandpaper torture is basically this. You get a treadmill, and where the normal bottom of a treadmill would be, you replace that with the toughest grit of sandpaper, right? So these people are running on sandpaper. And not only that, you put them in this small enclosure that there's no way they can, like, push up to get their feet off of it. They literally can't go anywhere. There's, like, pins and needles and stuff on the wall, so you can't even prop yourself up. They're also at random intervals, making it go from like 120 degrees in there to like 10 degrees in there, screwing you up, trying to get you all tired out. They are occasionally giving you food and water because they want this process to last a long time. But eventually, just like how in crucifixion, you don't die from being nailed to the thing. You die from when you finally give up and you just can't breathe. In this, the person eventually gets worn out, they fall down, and then the sandpaper slowly but surely erodes all of their skin and saws them down to a nub, right? And I was like, dude, Jesus Christ, Thomas. I was like, you saw this over there? And he was like, oh no, I made that shit up, dude.
Oh my God. Okay. I was about to say, dude, I was going to be like, bro, I think you've, like, broken some news on this podcast.
I was
like, because the torture thing was a big discussion, and yeah. I don't remember that ever coming up. Like,
yeah.
I think, like, that's, like, there's some people who would be very interested to hear more of those
details.
Yeah,
that's why, like, I wanted to phrase it like that.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's how it was phrased to me. I was like, holy shit, man. Like, you need to go see somebody right now.
Yeah. You got a couple of buddies that just sit around thinking up ways to torture people. You told a similar anecdote last week when you were in, like,
yes,
fifth grade or something. Like,
and that was why, because me, him, and that person went to school together, and that's why he wanted to tell me this so bad. He was like, I was listening to that, and I was like, that's cool, but that ain't shit. I've got one for you.
Were y'all, like, real into that bangedup.com and rotten.com, that type of stuff? In keeping with the discussion of the old internet, the early 2000s internet we were having the other day, I was talking about chat rooms, but there was also, I never liked them, but the way you're talking about you and your friends, like, were you guys real into those? The rotten.com, those websites?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
me
like, they would send it and we would watch it out of morbid curiosity, but I was never happy when it happened.
No.
You know what I mean?
I was always disturbed by that shit.
I had friends
who were like, so fascinated by it or whatever, who, like, they turned out to be totally fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but it's all the warning signs of a serial killer, you're thinking.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, for the record, like, I don't know. I guess it doesn't necessarily mean if they're also like, you know, torturing small animals and setting shit on fire and or wetting the bed, you know, if you got any combination of those things, then you should probably be pretty worried if you got somebody fucking around on those deep web sites like that. But,
you know, that's a great point, because it, like, that's like everybody always says, like, oh, the number one sign of a future serial killer is if they torture, you know, small animals or whatever. And, like, obviously, in thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, that makes total sense. Like, if you'll do that, something's wrong with your brain. But, like, now that I'm thinking back, like, there were plenty of dudes in the South who fucked with animals for no goddamn reason, and they didn't turn out to be serial killers. But do you think it's because you also have to be smart? You know what I mean? It can't just be that you like fucking around with small animals. You also have to be intelligent. Otherwise, your first kill will be your last.
That's a big misconception about serial killers, actually, is that they're smart. A lot of them are not, dude. A lot of them are fucking dumb asses.
But you got to be organized.
Kind of. You can also, if you're just random or whatever, like, you know, because most murders are like, there's a motive for it, right? Like, there's, you know, it's a husband killing his ex-wife for life insurance money or because she cheated or whatever, some shit like that. There's usually some, like, explanation, a drug deal gone wrong, whatever. So when somebody is killed for, like, no reason whatsoever, it's like, and it's just totally random, it makes it much harder.
That's true.
For them to deal with. Obviously, they've gotten much better at it lately, but, you know, years ago, that plus just the lack of technology and stuff, like, you know, you could be a serial killer and not be smart worth a shit. Some of them, like, are smart, but I'm just saying, like, everybody thinks or used to think it's like Seven, it's like Kevin Spacey in Seven or something.
Right.
But a lot of them are fucking just weirdo dipshits who are not smart at all.
Yeah, a lot of that is like the glory. Like, you know, I know that Hollywood people don't think they're glorifying them. They're like, no, we're just showing the true side of a monster. But, like, they absolutely glorify them in a way. And, like, every time you see a show about either a real serial killer or a fake one, like, they are always, like, hyper intelligent, manipulative, like, monsters like that. Like, they're never. Yeah. A dumb Lecter. Now, granted, that wouldn't be an entertaining show. I don't know. It'd be kind of fun to watch a show of just some bumbling idiot who kills a bunch of people and never gets caught because the cops also are dumb. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. It's like I said, there's the, because my dad was real big into that type of shit way before the true crime the craze, like in the 90s. My dad was really into, like, serial. He had all these books about serial killers and stuff. And so, and I snuck and read some of them. And Ortentov, they fucked me up. I was too young for that. But I know from reading those books, and it's very common knowledge at this point, but like you said, the torturing small animals thing, but it's also the other two. There's the three warning signs, especially if they're together. But any one of them on its own can just be like fucking boys being boys or whatever. Right. Like, one of them's bedwetting. Anybody can wet the bed, you know.
Oh,
fucking,
yeah, I did that.
Like, right. But like persistent bedwetting into, like, teenagerdom and shit, like a path, right. Like a problem. But there's been famous comics who were bedwetters and shit like that. I'm saying bedwetter don't mean you're going to kill people.
What's
but
the
apparently,
rationale on that?
Bedwetting plus pyromania. Is a big one. And again, that's another one. I knew so many fire bugs when I was a kid. Like, just fascinated with fire, you know, burning ants and shit, you know, just fucking around with fire, hugely popular. But those two together, plus torturing small animals, that's like, it just, an alarming number of serial killers have those three things in common from their childhood, apparently. Okay. So
we've just run into a really good situation or really good explanation or example is the word I'm trying to think of one of these things is not like the other. Pyromania and torturing animals. I understand the logic behind why you would think this person might grow up to be a bad person. They have no empathy and they like causing destruction, dangerous things. The bedwetting, that, like, are they suggesting these people were peeing on themselves on purpose or like that there's some sort of like what's happening here?
It also could be a chicken and egg thing, right? Where you're like it's just a bunch of serial killers were bedwetters when they were younger. But it could be that like being a bedwetter makes you super insecure and fucked up in your head and feel weird about yourself. You don't ever want to go over to anybody's house, hang out or anything. You know, you'll piss all over everything. If people at school find out you're a weirdo, you're probably a weirdo already, you know, if you're a future serial killer, but like,
right.
It may not, you know, correlation don't equal causation, that whole argument. Like, so it could just be, you know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of different ways to look at it. So yeah, all I know is those three things were just three things I found a lot of them had in common. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and I've only got one out of the three. You know, I did wet the bed. Like, I mean, it wasn't consistent when I was in middle school, but it did happen on occasion. And it was, and I get that about like not wanting to, I don't know. I could totally see what you're saying with the chicken or egg. Like if someone had horrible bedwetting problems, they never wanted to hang out. They didn't develop social skills. And then they wanted to kill all the people that made fun of them. That makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Could be that.
Are you hoping to budget your food expenses this fall? You want to get more bang for your bite? Well, do it with America's Best Value Meal Kit. Every plate is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping with no hidden fees, so you can count on great value week after week. Plus, only pay for what you need with pre-portioned ingredients. Ingredients? Yeah, them too. They got brand new ingredients. Choose every plate over takeout because you're going to save money. Their meals are 50% cheaper than your average fast casual meal. They're the easiest way to eat affordably. And by the way, you're making the sustainable choice because every plate offsets 100% of their delivery emissions. And their meals have a 31% lower carbon footprint. That is amazing on average than supermarket meals of the same portion. Plus, nearly all packaging materials are curbside recyclable in most areas in the U.S. Trey, you love this stuff, as do I, but tell people.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan of this stuff for like, I mean, I don't even know, multiple years at this point, ever since I found it, never looked back, basically. I love every plate. My favorite thing, I like to cook, but it makes it as simple as possible for you. I used to always go to get groceries for that week's cooking, and I'd end up throwing, you know, I get way too many zucchini or whatever and end up wasting food, which I hate. With every plate, you don't have to worry about that because they do all the measuring for you. It's a huge help. Also, it makes you feel kind of fancy, gourmand-y in the kitchen. It recipes I never ever would have thought of on my own. I'm making, you know, apricot jams and stuff like that, a sauce with them, things that you just wouldn't do without a service like every plate. And it's tremendous. I love it. My wife loves it. The whole family loves it. I'm a major fan of it. And if you think that it, you know, some people think that meal kits are expensive, but they're not. You can get the same deliciousness at a much lower price with every plate. So here's what you can do. You can get $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and then entering the code 49POA. That's $1.49 per meal. Can't beat that. If you go to everyplate.com/podcast and then enter the code 49POA, that's up to $110 value, y'all. Check it out. So I guess I'll just go ahead and get into the thing that I was going to talk about. It was suggested by who? It was an air editor.
Matt K, air editor. That's what they're called over on Reddit. R putting on airs over on Reddit. Managed by our moderators, Radical Riley and Aunt Tiff. And yeah, Matt K, do you got it there with you?
No, I don't. I just got a notification that Devonta Adams is questionable now. So anyway, I don't know if I can.
I'll read it.
I know no one cares. I'm not going to belabor it, but I'm just having the most Raven start to any fantasy football season I've ever had in
Did
my life.
Did you have Aaron Rodgers?
No, but we drafted early. I drafted Jonathan Taylor. That was before he was ruled out and all that. He was still supposed to be traded at that time. That's why you don't draft early, but it wasn't my decision. Anyway, I had him. I had Travis Kelce, who ain't played yet. And then, you know, DJ Moore don't hit. J.K. Dobbins blew his Achilles out. Mm-hmm. And now Joe Burrow had the worst game of his life. And now,
after just signing that contract.
Yeah. And then the only guy I had who hit at all was Devontae Adams. And it just popped up and said he's been downgraded to questionable. And I don't even know why. As a Raiders fan, also, Jacoby Myers had a great game. The other receiver, he got his head exploded at the end of it. So he's going to be out, too. So if they're both out, then it real life sucks also from a fandom thing. Anyway, I don't have it in front of me, but I can find it. I mean,
I'll read it. It's fine. Yeah. But I want to say, speaking of fantasy football, play along with us and do your picks and stuff at DraftKings using the code POA. There you go. So this was sent on Reddit from our buddy Matt K. And the headline was Venn diagram of snobbery. Sorry, I had to burp. Or social status. Hey guys, love the show. and been listening since my wife turned me on to it on a quick road trip to North Padre Island, Texas. Y'all talking about hunting, and I shook my head in agreement the whole time. An idea I always had was the sheer mind-blowing similarities of social status from the two corners of the spectrum. From a small southeast Texas town without a single red light and one restaurant called the Burger Hut with two tables and a total of five chairs, I have seen a family who owns a gas company that only serves our town have basically the only two-story house with a goddamn pond in the back and the wife at the head of the PTA act and be treated in the same regards as high-rise Manhattan mogul family of ancient money might act. The sheriff and deacon of the church be as powerful as the head of the FBI. No amount of money could compare to the nobility of small-town hierarchy. I'm in my work truck and riding I can't read this part, but it would be fun to hear you guys give y'all's opinions on it. I immediately sent it to you because, man, is that not the fucking truth?
It's a great one. And one thing I loved about it was, again, it's like it's a thing we could kind of just talk about, you know, and have to like go into research. It's a hard thing to research, I feel like, it's not because everybody knows rich people are snobby, but it's so true. It hadn't occurred to me, but it's so true. It's like, there's always got to be a trasher fish. You know what yes. I mean? Like everybody's got to have somebody beneath them, and that works all the way up the hierarchy. Now I'm looking at the other end of the spectrum here, but like, yeah, I've thought about it before. It kind of briefly came up on the show before, actually. I don't remember the context, but I was talking about watching like a TV show about nobility and how I'd just be a piece of peasant trash.
Of course.
But, and then we were saying even like the fanciest people in like your hometown would also not hit when compared right. to a king and a duke and all that shit. So it kind of came up before, but I've thought about it since as I've gotten older, like, the people who were like the rich people in Salina, right? And there were only a handful of them. And it was like, thinking back on who those people were, it's like, they were such fucking trash. Like they were they had no like class or anything. Like they'd be laughed out of any room of actual like, you know, Southern debutantes or whatever.
Right.
You know
even
what I mean?
In the and South, they didn't really hit.
Right. And then those people, and then like, Southern debutantes, you know, wouldn't hit for like Manhattan elite for geographical right. reasons or whatever. The ones that got like real old money.
Yeah.
I think they are at the top of the heap across.
Of course. They're
all
the number
regions.
One.
The one from like those like basically American royalty families, whatever right. like state they're from. They probably all hit together and drank the same blood and shit, I would assume. But
interestingly enough, the reason that you can't really research this is because the people in these small hometowns that have all the money and they're the royalty, they are still so unnoteworthy that it's not like there's anything in print about them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
one of the dudes was a slumlord, right?
Yeah.
Which like that guy, that racist guy that used to own the Clippers, he was a slumlord on a massive scale. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you can make some money doing that, but that's what this guy, what he owned he owned like all the trailer parks in town or whatever. It looked like Jabba the Hutt, you know, right. like, talk like this and stuff, you know. I mean, that's how I remember him talking like that. I was working at my first ever real job was pumping gas at a full service gas station in Salina called the Rocket Express, right? And it was pretty popular because people were like, yeah, but you know, again, it's always gonna be a trasher fish. Let that little piece of shit pump my gas yeah. for me, make me feel entitled. People come by getting $3 worth, you know, acting like
you do it.
I ain't shit, you know. But
hey, granted, that was 3 gallons back then, you know.
Yeah, I was 16, you know, so I mean, I weren't shit. But anyway, one day it was like coming a wrath of God thunderstorm pouring down, and I'm in the little tiny office there, and nobody's stopping. Yeah, presumably because they were like, oh, that would be fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Like, to make this guy come out here and pump my gas, because you had to stand there and pump it too, right?
Yeah, right.
And so nobody was like stopping, which I was grateful.
You couldn't just click the thing and walk off?
I want to say no, but I might.
But
that
you
may
couldn't
not be
because
true.
They're not
they were very
it up.
Old.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. They were very old pumps, and I feel like you couldn't do that with them, but that may not be true. It may just be how I'm remembering it. But either way, nobody was stopping, which I was grateful for. And then the guy I'm talking about, the slumlord guy, he pulls up in his big, you know, jacked up quad cab Silverado, you know, year or two old. It's like a 02 or something. This is 03. And pulls up, stops. I walk out there, you know, just getting soaked immediately. I walk around the truck, walk up to the driver's side window to get his like order or whatever. And I walk up and stand there and the window's up and he's turned around in his console digging like, and I swear to God, he goes, gives me the hold on a minute finger while he digs around for something.
While you just look like Andy Dufresne out there.
Just getting soaked, dude. And he just like tells me to hang on a second. And then he like finally finds it, I guess, and turns around, cracks the window the tiniest amount and goes, fill it up. And then and then rolled the window back up and sat in there. So it, like, you know, it was that guy. And that was, he was like one of the, you know, might have been the rich. Nah, he wasn't the richest guy. There was one legitimately rich person in all of Clay County, and it was actually my grandpa's stepbrother, but they, of course, hated each other, naturally.
Right.
So I never even fucked with those people. I literally barely knew them. But they, have you ever heard of Honest Abe Log Homes?
Yeah, I have. I see their advertisements in, like, on my way to Atlanta through Dalton. Like, they build the log cabins and shit.
My grandpa's stepbrother founded that company.
Wow.
They're like, that family, they're like legit as far as that goes. So legit that I've never set eyes upon them. Yeah, you know, not allowed to, you know what I mean? But like, other than them, it's a bunch of jumped up trash who ain't one of the other guys, one of the other richest dudes in town, like salvaged vehicles. He like owned a junkyard, right?
Yeah.
And did a lot of vehicle salvaging and stuff. He's the guy that I told you recently, you were saying that like I don't want to put you on blast.
So go ahead, I don't care.
What you were saying, that it had been so hot, you've been like leaving your car running lately, you know, to keep the AC going or whatever. And I said that I don't do it all the time. One of the richest assholes in my town, I said, was like known for doing that. That's this guy. That's the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like everywhere he ever went, if he went into a restaurant to go in and sit down and eat like the whole time or whatever, it didn't matter. He always left his vehicle running the whole time, you know, with the air on and that type of shit. And I'm saying, like, that was like, to the rest of us, that fact was like, you know, this uppity motherfucker thinks he's so much better than everybody else. So what, you know what I mean? It was like, that was real, like, uptown shit for a person to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just couldn't believe it. And I'm saying, like, this dude, he looked like Travis Tritt, bro. Like, he was a junkyard man. Like, he didn't hit. He wasn't fucking like, he wasn't actually high class or nothing like that. But, everything is relative.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
But that's why a lot of those people, you know, it's big fish, small pond thing. And that's why it hits for people. And that's why they don't ever leave, you know?
Yeah. Why would they? Because I want to say two things. Number one, like the example of that guy doesn't turn his car off. Therefore we equate that with money. And like, of course that is like a luxury, but like, have you noticed that? Well, maybe you haven't, because you've been like out in California this whole time when like the newer iPhones have been coming out and shit, but like a new indicator, a so hilarious indicator that rednecks will use to say that person clearly has money. I've heard this more than once, like a lot, like, oh, look at him. You know, he's rich. He ain't even got a damn case on his phone. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's a thing. Like if someone around here has an iPhone and they don't have a case on it, everybody goes, that's an indicator of money, because if you drop it and break it, it doesn't matter. You'll get a new one, because like, that's like, and the thing about iPhones is being broke now don't mean that you're not going to somehow save up every dollar you have to get an iPhone, because it's like a status thing. You know what I mean? Like, I know plenty of, and no offense at all, like broke people who still have an iPhone, because like, it's just the thing. You gotta have it. So I'll save up money all year to get an iPhone, and you best fucking believe that they're spending a good amount of money too on the case, because they're going to have that iPhone for several generations of iPhones. You know what I mean? But again, and I've seen this, like people that don't have a case, and oftentimes it is true. It's like that person actually does have money and they don't want to put a case on it, because they're like, what I want to show everybody, I can't afford to get another one. Are you fucking kidding me? And the second thing I wanted to say about the big fish, small pond thing is like, yeah, There are a couple families in Chickamauga. There's a couple more now, but when I was a kid, there's a couple families who were like, genuinely, they really did make a lot of money. But there were a lot more families who we thought were super rich as shit. And again, for here, they were. But every single one of them, none of them could afford to live in California. You know what I mean? Like they, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were loaded here. And if they were to go to California, they would be middle of the road at best, or any other mainstream city. And so like, there is that part where you want to make fun of that person and be like, oh yeah, you're hot shit down here, but you can't make it New York City. But then there's the other part of me that's like, dude, I'm doing that right now. Like, I'm literally doing that. Like, one of the reasons that I stay in Chickamauga is because I make a really, really good living for a motherfucker who lives in Chickamauga. I can be a king down here. It's amazing. Sure. Why would I go anywhere?
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I should also say, I just thought about it. There were other like rich families that, again, in Salina, they weren't, one or two of them might have been like, would have also been considered rich in even Nashville or whatever. But some of them were pretty cool. They weren't all like that, but some of them were like that. They acted like they was like hot shit, when it's like, bro, this is Clay County. Like,
true or false?
I don't
question.
Even really care how much money you have. You live here. Like, it's not. You ain't
true
shit.
Or false question. When we were kids, if someone made $90,000 a year, we considered them rich as shit, right?
Bro, absolutely. So loaded.
That's what I want everyone to have the level here, because like, some of these people that we're talking about when we were kids, like they were the Beverly Hillbillies. Some of them weren't even making that, but like, that's what we're talking about here. But like, if in the 90s, if you even, I'm talking about dual income here. I'm talking about the wife don't work, the husband makes $90,000 a year, which that was the case. And if in the South, if you made $90,000 a year, your wife wasn't working, because there used to be a thing, you know, called the middle class, and like, things was fine and stuff. But like, that would be, we would look at that and go, holy fucking shit. So that's the level of rich we're talking about here.
What I've always said about my hometown, whenever this has come up, is I've told people, it's like, you got to understand, like, when I was a kid, the kids who had money, there was like rich kids or whatever, but then there was just like the kids who had, oh, they got money, right?
Right.
I swear to God, they got money in Salina. Pretty much what that meant was, generally speaking, their parents were still married and they both had a job, right?
Yep.
And that pretty much meant you had money, right? Like one of the people that had money, his parents were married. His dad like carried the mail. Right.
Right.
And his mom worked in like a school system or something like that. And it's like, oh, they got money or whatever. Like, and it's so, the standard is just so different. But it also, this dynamic exists on the other end of the spectrum too. Cause like, you know, we did not. I mean, before the factory left and everything fell apart, my grandpa was definitely like a pillar of the community type guy. But then, you know,
everybody was a pillar of the community after the factories left. Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. A lot of pilling happening around there. But no, he should have took some more pills, actually. He was like one of them was like thought doctors were queer until his heart exploded and he wasn't even 70 years old. You know, he probably would have been better off with a few more pills, actually. But he what was I saying? You know, we ain't, especially after that happened, we ain't have shit. But like, but there was still like, even families on my level and my other friends who also didn't have shit either. And I'd like to think that I didn't. I mean, I was a little like smarmy asshole, so I'm sure I made jokes. But like, there were still like families that got looked down upon by those of us at the trash level. Do you know what I mean? It's like trash all the way down. Like there were multiple families in Salina that like even the trash was like, oh, that's the real trash. Or they're like multiple neighborhoods where it's like, that's where the real trash lives. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm sure within that neighborhood, I bet you in those neighborhoods or those apartment complexes, there was like a couple of people in there who were like,
of course,
I'm all right. Everybody else in here is trash, you know, like, because it's almost just like it's human nature. And then on the other end of the spectrum, which we know much less about, but like, for example, not bringing politics into it, but like it's always been said or rumored or whatever that like Donald Trump, right, has long had a massive chip on his shoulder about the fact that he has never been accepted by like the Manhattan elite, like the really old money, high class Manhattan people have never fucked with Trump. They think he's gross. Like they think he's trash. And it's like, this dude is a billionaire who became the president. And these people are like, they won't deign to suffer his presence or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they just won't do it. So, I mean, it's wild how relative that all is, but it's like a universal truth that's sort of like snobbery or whatever, but just something we do.
But politics aside, if you do think about it, like to those old money, old money Manhattan people, it's numbers that you couldn't even conceive of how much, like they've got the type of money that like I'd said on a website where it's almost not even money anymore. It's just power. It's just everything. But like those people to Donald Trump, like he don't have it like them. And like, if you think about it, like the difference between Donald Trump's net worth and Jeff Bezos's net worth is more staggering than the difference between Donald Trump's net worth and my net worth. If you I'm not even saying I'm hit. That's just true. That's just if I made $0 a year, that would be true. That's how much money Jeff Bezos has. You know what I'm saying?
But also, and that's true. I'm saying this is how wild this whole dynamic we're talking about is. I don't know this, but I guarantee you, though, that there are people in the big cities around this country, right, who are from these old money families that have been around forever that, like, operate in the shadows, basically. And I'm not trying to get all conspiracy about it. I'm saying, like, these people exist.
No, you know what I mean? Like,
there's probably still there's still Rockefellers and Vanderbilts and those types or whatever. Like, their descendants, these people, whatever the fuck they're up to. I bet you they don't fuck with Jeff Bezos either.
Agreed.
Or maybe they like have to. They have to because he's just so rich. They don't respect him. I guarantee it. I guarantee you they don't because he's like new money.
New money.
And he don't have class. He don't have decorum. He don't have, you know, all this shit that they value and stuff. I guarantee there's some of them out there who are like, Jeff Bezos ain't shit.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because that's two separate levels. That's a way... That's a way that somehow someone with less money than you can still look down on you if your money came newer and faster.
Because of their name or whatever.
So
legacy,
like,
all that shit that Jeff Bezos don't have.
Yeah, if you're a super rich family and your daddy was rich, his daddy was rich, and it goes way back and you've just had old money, if someone first generation comes along and builds some sort of empire and gets a bunch of money, even if they have more money than you, you will look down on them because you're like, they don't know what to do with it. This is a flash in the pan. Call me when their kid has that same amount of money or whatever. White people often be doing this to black people when they have money. You know what I mean? Like that is a thing. Like that they talk about. Can't tell you how many times I heard people like from my hometown or other Southern people talk about like when a black rapper was a millionaire, they would just be like, oh, well, they've got new money. They would also say a phrase
there's
that I'm not going to say.
There's another phrase that they use for that. Martha Stewart said it on a roast one time, wasn't it?
No, it was Paula.
On a Comedy Central roast, it was Martha Stewart, wasn't it? You said it was.
The one that I sent y'all?
I'm talking about, she was like, she said, they got a word for that. She was like, yeah. I can't, is it? And I think she goes, is it N-word rich or something that?
I was talking about the joke that my buddy G.R. Goodwin, who's a comedian. And by the way, the phrase is N-word rich. And I don't mean Nicaragua. N-word rich. My buddy G.R., who is a black comedian, when Paula Deen got in all that trouble, he tweeted out, man, she went from rich to N-word rich in a split second.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
But that is the phrase that they use, you know what I mean? For like some, and again, it's interesting because this person could have more money than the person making fun of them. But because their money is new, it's no good here. We don't want you in our club.
Which is, of course, like to me, that's such horse shit because it's like that person whoever that person is, they figured out a way to like make their own money. Most of these people we're talking about. We're just literally born with it.
Hear me out.
Born on third base, born on home plate or whatever. So, like, I get that it's like these people don't know how to act.
They don't know the ways. Yes.
Yeah, right. You can't know that. You got to learn that. But also, like, fuck those people. But, like, I know it's a real thing.
I agree. But, like, let me put it to you this way because it is similar. It's all about how you act. There's a certain, like, they hadn't been in the system long enough to know how we operate. It's weird hanging out with them because they're making all these dumb decisions. Me and I've been doing stand up for 20 years. You've been doing stand up for 15 plus, right? We've both worked really, really hard. We both have really good careers. We're not fucking insanely famous or anything, but I'm happy with where I'm at. We're by no means unsuccessful. We are two very, especially in this business, 99% of people who stand up behind a microphone and tell jokes would love to have our fucking career right now, right? Me and you, with the amount of money we make and the amount of success we've had, let's say hypothetically, a comedian comes along. He starts doing open mics in March, right? And right now, he's selling out Madison Square Garden because he just bumped up real quick and he got super famous. You gonna tell me that me and you were gonna want to hang out with that guy and call him a comic? You know what I mean? But why can't we? Well, this guy just figured out something really quick. He just figured out a way to do it. Why wouldn't we? Because he wasn't in the fucking shit. You know what I mean? He doesn't know the lingo yet. He doesn't know how to behave. I'm not, now in this one, like, you totally understand. It's wrong in the other one, but like, I get it is what I'm saying. I get it.
Right. But like, I don't think these dinner parties and stuff are being in the shit. You know what I mean? Like what you're talking about with that guy. It's like, you know, he didn't do the shitty biker bars and the open mic songs. He didn't pay his dues and that type of thing. Now, for the record, because so many people thought that I was one of those dudes, and some of them probably still do, even though I wasn't. But because of that, I'm like, it varies wildly how I feel about one of those guys when it happens. I know what I'm saying. Like some of them like go about it the right way and everything. And I respect that. And then other ones don't. And we both have known specific examples of both types, you know. And the ones who don't, I'm like, yeah, fuck that guy. But the ones that like, seem to be doing their best to like do it right, you know, as far as like what most comedians would think, I'm like, you know.
I'm happy for anyone's success as long as they're not a dickhead. If you're not a dickhead, I'm happy for your success. And I don't care that you didn't do all the things that I did. Matter of fact, if anything, I'm just jealous. Let me rephrase it. I don't mean that they haven't been through the shit, because obviously the rich people haven't been through the shit. What it is that we can't talk to him the same as we would someone who's been in the business 20 years, because they don't know the lingo yet. And we don't have that shared history. That's why when you're a comedian and you meet another comedian, you become friends quicker than you would if you met a random person.
Oh yeah,
because you both have a shared history. You both come from the same world. There's a whole lot of your origin story that you don't even have to tell because you both just know, right? And I think it's the same for these rich people. They only hang out with old money people. So they all have that in common, and they all have a similar origin, similar stories about what it was like as a child. And they don't, they can't relate to this person that has new money, because it's not about the amount of money. It's about the lifestyle. And this person is new to the lifestyle, and they don't want to be the ones to teach them how to do it.
Right. Yeah. All that, you know, flashy cars and fucking pet tigers and all that type of shit.
They don't
go in for all that. They're like,
and I'm
you
so
know.
For that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's like we've talked before about, I really do not want to get into jerking off these old money motherfuckers, because they don't have for me either. But like, it's like we've talked before about how there used to be like rich people. There used to be expectations of rich people. Or they used to be standards. There were standards for rich people. And now there just aren't. And you can just be a huge douchebag. It's almost like it's part of being rich is to be a huge douchebag now or whatever. And it didn't used to be that way. And we've lamented that on this show.
Right.
Well, some of these old money people, the ones that aren't huge fuck ups, it's like they still have an element of that where they're like,
agreed.
You know, there's a way that we are expected to conduct ourselves or whatnot.
Right.
And they very much look down on all the peasants and all that shit. But they're not out being flashy and shitty all the time in
right.
public. Like, so like, you know, pick your poison, which one's worse or whatever,
but
you know.
At the same time though, like the person that comes to mind most when you say the rich used to have like this sense of expectations of what to do with their money, I think of Rockefeller. That's the first person that I think of. Well, but like he was first generation hit. Like he didn't come from family money. Like,
oh,
he
goes way, way, way back further than him.
No,
dude.
I know.
I mean,
but
we
talked
about
I'm saying?
The medieval lords, how they'd be on the front lines of wars and shit
that.
And there, I mean, it like that. That was the standard for rich people for most of history. This like this current version of it is relatively recent, really.
Right. And I mean, you know, like you said, we don't want to jerk off the old money people, but like if you're going to be an old money person, that's the best version of it that you can be. And what are these people supposed to, what would you do? Give like not be an old money person? Like, you know what I mean? Like everybody knows you're dealt the cards. You have to play the hand you're dealt, and like, who the fuck would turn down that hand, you know?
Well, some of them do. Some of them,
yeah,
like,
right.
And what's funny is I'll judge those people too, but in both ways. Like, you just can't.
Just give half of it away.
What I mean is like they'll change their names and try to make it on their own, which I respect.
Cage.
The ones that, like, do that but keep family money, I like that more. Because with the people that are just like, did you ever see that movie End of the Wild? With Emile Hirsch?
No, I haven't. I know I've read
that movie.
Book,
got jerked off so much, and it was like this kid with his wanderlust. What an inspiration!
Money.
All this stuff. I hated that motherfucker the whole time I was watching.
And we're
that
glad
movie.
He died.
Yeah, I was like, this is the most privileged dipshit I've ever seen. Like, but I don't even know how rich he was. I can't remember. I've only seen the movie once because it didn't really hit for me.
But he didn't
like,
have to be that way.
He's given this check from his parents when he graduates high school or college one for like $200,000 or something. And he like rips it up and just hits the road.
So,
you know,
so stupid.
And there's part of me, it's like, dude, do you have any idea how many people out there would actually do something worthwhile with that if given that opportunity and would give anything to have it or whatever? It's like, it's sort of like how like a superstar naturally gifted athlete, when they just like throw it away or whatever. And you're like, well, that's, you know, that's a shame or whatnot.
Right.
You know, like, because there's so many other people that would love to have that opportunity. That's sort of how I felt about that guy. And then also, like, just the hubris, too, because he ends up, you already knew that he died. He ends up dying because he, like,
yeah, I read
makes
the book.
He makes his way. Oh, you read the book?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he makes his way into the Alaskan wilderness, which is, like, some mean bush that you don't just fuck with on a whim. Right?
Unless you're a fucking retarded rich kid that don't know any better.
For some reason, he thinks he can handle that. It's like, what would make you think you can do that?
Right.
And like, anyway, he got on my nerves.
No, he super fucking sucks, because like there's a bunch of like in his brain, he thinks like the poor people would respect me for not taking the money and just
that's
trying
what
to
I'm
make
saying.
It on my own.
That's,
yeah, no, I know you
saying.
Are.
Like, some of them give it all
and
up
it's a
and
slap
I'm like,
in the face. It's
and
a
it,
slap
and,
in the face.
Right. Yeah. Like, right.
I feel
yes.
And I feel the same way about white privilege. Like, I don't think I should have it, but I do. So anytime it's advantageous to me, it would be a slap in the face to the people of color community if I didn't at least appreciate what I have, because all of them would be like, are you shitting me? I would kill for that opportunity. Why aren't you fucking don't take a stand? You know what I mean? Fucking take your shit. That's how I justify getting, you know, like getting things handed to me.
Sure.
I have
What did you want to talk about?
Well, Trey, I had, and by the way, I wanted to talk about two things. If you don't mind, I have for my last topic, because you can't follow this shit. I have a bunch of dirty letters from history. I've done this before, but actually it was just with Mozart. I think I did not know how foul it could be. Like, James Joyce, my friend.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It will, but you haven't read them, have you?
No, I've maybe seen excerpts here and there. I've heard that about him. I know he were a freak.
It's more insane than you would even think. So graphic that think about how graphic this is. I'm putting out a disclaimer right now. This shit is, I mean, it's hilarious to me, and I'm not offended by it. And it's not racist or nothing. It's just like, I will say this, if you're into them kind of books that my wife is into, like vampire threesomes and, you know, wolves getting eaten out and shit, you're going to love it. But my dad is probably going to walk away from the computer for how foul some of this shit is. But before that, I've been wanting to talk about this for a couple of weeks, and it's definitely still in the news, but it's going away, so I'm going to talk about it soon. Have you heard anything about the French wine surplus that's going on right now?
You had mentioned it, but I didn't like look into it or anything.
Okay, so basically, here's what's happening. They have a surplus of wine in France. I immediately read that and I was like, I bet they do. You know, they probably stay having a surplus of wine in France. But basically, here's how it's working. Making wine is getting like way more expensive due to inflation. But at
fucking
the same
time, Joe Biden fucking up the French wine trade. Like that's how far reaching powerful he is. He's even a shitty president for France.
Oh, trust me, I'm not happy with him because of this. But there was a part of this that they're using to explain why, like, it's not just that, it's also a lot this. And I started thinking about it and I was like, that makes so much sense to me. And I actually have a personal, like, personal testimony of this. It's getting more expensive to make wine. And at the same time, people are now drinking less wine than they ever have been. Now, apparently, the consumption of wine has been on, I won't say steady, but it has been on a decrease since like 1926. But there's not really been like huge drop-offs or anything. But I was sitting there going like, I know that the economy is terrible. So it's like people don't want to spend money on wine. But I was like, but we all know that like alcohol, gambling, and entertainment, these are the recession-proof things. I know people are still drinking.
Sin stocks, I think is what they call
them. Yeah, sin stocks. Yeah. I was like, so I know people are still drinking. And then it like just kind of hit me out of nowhere that like me and my wife and you, we used to drink wine like maniacs, like crazy. We would drink wine. And my wife has given up wine. And everyone I know who has given up wine has replaced it with
seltzers.
Wine has lost the ambers of the world.
Yeah, that's a wine. Yeah. It does make sense because wine, like white people love wine.
Yes.
And white people also love seltzers now. So it's like seltzers has cannibalized the wine market, you know, or the white people market from wine. I mean, yeah, I could buy that.
So me too, because when I think about it, the only reason that it's not that me and you loved wine. We loved getting drunk. Let's just put that out there. We loved getting drunk. The reason that I always went to wine was because it was on a night where I was like, I'm just not in the mood for beer. I'm just specifically not in the mood for beer. And nowadays, and by the way, I still love beer. I still drink beer. I've been drinking a lot of Landshark. They're not supporting this show, but I've been drinking a lot of Landshark to support the Jimmy Buffett Foundation. God rest his soul. But like, whenever I'm not in the mood for actual beer, I don't go for wine anymore. I go for seltzers. And it has truly cornered the market and I think affected wine like a tremendous amount. So that makes sense to me. But like in Bordeaux, they have all this fucking wine, but they, in order to make a profit off of how much it is that they are, it's costing them to make it, they would have to mark it up so much that they know nobody is. They're like, dude, people aren't buying it for the, when we have it for 10 times less than that. Like they're not going to buy this shit. So In June of this year, the European Union stepped in and they gave France $172 million to do what, Trey? Destroy 80 million gallons of wine, right? Now,
to like reset the wine market or something? Because it was out of whack?
Yes, to reset the wine market because it was out of whack. Now, when they first said this, or when I first read this, I was like, okay, but how does destroying it work? Now they're going to have to make it again. So, like, how does this work? Well, what's happening is they're not going to just, when they say destroy the wine, they don't mean that they're going to pour it out. What they're going to be, what they're paying them for is they're paying them an amount of money so that they can afford to then distill the wine back to its pure alcohol form so that they can then make cleaning supplies with that pure alcohol, which cleaning supplies probably recession proof. You know what I mean?
No idea you could do that. You could do that. That's wild.
Yes, me either. So they take it and they turn it back into its pure alcohol. They make perfumes. They make hand sanitizer. They make Lysol. Like, basically, their whole thing is like France is going to take all of this distilled wine, turn it into pure alcohol, and sell it to Lysol or some shit like that. And then once everything is back in balance, they can, you know, get back on their shit. By the way, that amount of wine is enough wine to fill more than 100 Olympic-sized swimming pools. That is a fuck ton of wine. And I love this. And I don't have much more to say on it except for it reminded me of that Brian Regan bit. That's why I wanted to even talk about it. You remember the Brian Regan bit? When this has happened several times because, and I know this because my family-in-law is from Iowa, but Iowa had a corn surplus one time, and they paid all these farmers like hundreds of millions of dollars to not grow corn.
I was going to bring that up. I was actually going to bring that up. I was like, we give farmers subsidies all the time to not grow corn.
Yeah. And they did it. And Brian Regan had that bit where he was just like, he was like, so what'd you do today? Got up at the crack of noon and made sure there wasn't no corn growing. But yeah, so it's essentially the same thing except for with wine and with France. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah. For me with wine, it was always a matter of like, you know, I don't want a bottle of liquor. I'm not a lunatic, right? But I also don't want to drink 14 of something.
Yes.
Right. So wine was a good middle ground. Then for me, I just kind of, as I got older, I just drank way less than I used to, period. So like seltzers are, I'm not going to drink back then, you know, as a heavy drinker, younger and heavier drinker. Like I said, if I was drinking beer, I'd go through them. But now, if I'm drinking seltzers, I don't, you know, I'll drink, right. I don't know, 4 or 5 or something. So, like, I don't have the same problem anymore. I'll still buy a box of wine, exclusively boxes, of course.
You know? Well, dude, I mean,
don't fuck with bottles. But I wonder if the seltzers have also taken over Europe, though, you know? Like,
yeah, that's a great question.
Because I mean, thought Europe was, like, the real wine-drinking motherfuckers.
Right.
I mean, you know, obviously, I know America be drinking wine, too, but like glass of wine, fancy dinner type shit is what I think of. You know what I mean? Like, I know we would drink it just to get drunk. And I know people do that. You know, like, don't call them winos for no reason.
Right.
But I'm saying what people are not doing is sitting down to a nice dinner and ordering your finest grapefruit White Claw. Chilled, please. No ice. Like, no one's doing that. Right.
That's true.
So, like, I don't know.
I guess it's just how much of the market was people having expensive dinners and having 2 glasses of wine. You know what I mean? Because, like, in order to sell a lot of shit, like, Budweiser is not making all their money because you have 2 at Texas Roadhouse. You know what I mean? Like, they're making it because you have 30 on college football day. So I'll have to get into that. But I'll have to, like, look into that because, yeah, I don't remember when we were in the UK, speaking of which, we were in the UK to write our book, and it comes out next week, September 19th, round here and over yonder. Please pre-order it. The link is in the description to this episode, or you can go to TreyCrowder.com or CoreyRyanForster.com. But when we were in the UK, do you remember seeing a lot of seltzers? Because I don't. I don't remember that at all.
No.
Because
like,
I would have ordered one.
Right. Yeah, they had ciders.
Yeah, ciders their thing.
Yeah. No. So see, that's what I'm saying. And it's also like, and I know this is just a niche part of the market too. I get that. But like, you're going to a house party or a get together or something.
Right.
You know, you're not bringing a 12 pack of White Claw. You know what I mean? They open the door and it's like, hey, congratulations. You know?
Yeah.
Here's this is a half a rack of fucking, you know, bitch beer.
Yeah, this is a 2023 grapefruit seltzer from the Panama City Beach region.
Yes. It was the Spiked Tea Variety Pack, exclusive to the spring of 2022.
Like, this one is has notes of your favorite ice pop as a child. It's and staticky undertones, if I may say, with a sour aftertaste, a little bit of bite
of regret.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. But I just thought that was super, super interesting. But like, I've never, like, I've heard about surpluses before where they destroyed shit. But for some reason, the wine one was the only one where I was like, I need to look into how that fucking helps, like, at all. Because if you just, if you, this is one of those cases of if you don't read the article, you will think 100% that they are fixing a problem by pouring out 100 Olympic swimming pools full of wine, and that will never make sense to anyone. But they're not. They're doing a thing that I did not know was possible, which is pretty cool. So I have, Trey, I don't know. You tell me how much time, you tell me when to stop, because I've got plenty of these. And okay. They are, the last time.
I think I'm a pretty good, I would like to think I'm a pretty good barometer for people's stomach for this sort of thing or whatever. I'd like to think so. Because I'm, you know, I love making butt fucking jokes and stuff like that. But I also,
there's some in here,
get to a point where I'm like, this is enough poop pussy stuff, you know.
Like, well, I that's why I'm putting this disclaimer out. So, like, you know, you can't be mad at me. But this, these are all from historically influential and important people. I wouldn't just read smut off of the Pornhub comments. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, this, we're talking about Charles Bukowski. We're talking about James Joyce. I'll be honest with you, it's mainly them too. But there is enough there.
Well, we know that Mozart did it too, because we covered
that before. And I already read those. Yeah. So I would like to start with a letter that Charles Bukowski wrote to Linda King. Okay, here we go. I liked your hand-walking act. That got me hotter than hell. Everything you do gets me hotter than hell. Throwing clay against the ceiling. You bitch. You red-hot shrew. You lovely, lovely woman. Kind of went de-escalated there. you have put new poems and new hope and new joy and new tricks into an old dog. I love you. Your pussy hairs I felt with my fingers. The inside of your pussy, wet, hot. I felt with my fingers, you up against the refrigerator. You have such a wonderful refrigerator.
I did not think that refrigerator was how that sentence was going to end. You have such a wonderful.
Imagine how hard that refrigerator hit.
But yeah, right. Like she must build this very graphic fucking sex missive to be like, by the way, that refrigerator, that is top notch. That is a high quality item. Where'd you get that? Sears catalog? What are we talking about? How much that set you back? Anyway,
that's what I'm saying.
Your anus.
Like, she must have had the first fridge that had a separate compartment for vegetables or something for it to be this noteworthy.
That's wild.
Dad, please clip this out and make it a clip if you're listening. Okay. You have such a wonderful refrigerator. Your hair dangling down, wild. You there, the wild bird of you, the wild thing of you, hot, lewd, miraculous, twisting after your head, trying to grab your tongue with my mouth, with my tongue. We were in Burbank and I was in love. Ultramarine love, my good goddamned goddess, my goad, my bitch, my beating, breathing, hairlined cunt of paradise. I love you and your refrigerator. And as we grab,
no, that's me. No, you put that in there.
Nope. I swear to God. I loved you. I love you and your refrigerator. And as we grabbed and wrestled, that sculpted head watching us with his little lyrical, cynical love smile burning. I want you. I want you. I want you, 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 you. Yes, that is it. Five U's.
Dude,
okay, that's James
fucking,
Joyce. It's unreal.
What is
it's
the
unreal.
Refrigerator thing about? Because, like, Bukowski, we're talking, like, what, the 50s?
Yeah.
Like, right. So it wasn't like the thing, like, hey, check this out. I got the thing on the door. Look at that. It's like with the crushed ice. Look at that. Isn't that crap? You know, because that shit, I could see that. Like, the first time you ever saw that while, you know, porking And you're writing a letter and you're like, also, I just got to say, my God, the advances they have made in the refrigeration industry, that crushed ice dispenser
pretty well
brought to mind the resplendent hues of a paradise beyond this realm. It did for me. Like, but it couldn't have been that.
It couldn't have been that. It was just a block of ice in a wooden chest.
This is like icebox shit we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, what could it have been that affected him so about that refrigerator?
I'm
genuinely so curious. It's funny.
What that like, fridge was?
Because I think that is unknowable. I doubt you can Google that, right? But I'd really like to know. I'd like to see that fridge and assess it further.
I had so much trouble with this list because when reading that, I was dying laughing and I was like, that's what you should close with. But then I got to James Joyce and it started this kind of flow and I was like, you can't follow this shit, bruh. So let's get to James Joyce. Follow that refrigerator pussy, huh? James Joyce, my love for you allows me to pray to the spirit of eternal beauty and tenderness mirrored in your eyes, or fling you down under me on that softy belly of yours and fuck you up behind like a hog riding a sow. Glorying in the very glorying in the very stink and sweat that rises from your arse, glorying in the open.
Don't let the stank out, baby.
No, baby.
James Joyce knew he knew the deal. Whatever you do, don't let the stank out. And buddy, the stank back then, goddamn, son.
Next now, granted, level.
None of us ever even smelled that kind of stank. That was
no,
like,
we didn't. No,
that kind of
no.
stank is it? That's that extinct stank.
Extinct. But dude, like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but they were used to that stank, you know. So like,
yeah,
that,
well, we're used to what people smell like, but you still get down to like the butt, you know,
the butt.
When you're throwing down,
yeah,
it's you still can. It's the stank, you know.
Yeah,
you know what the
and they didn't have wet wipes back then or bidets or deodorant. And they all had to wear like 19 layers even in the summer. Otherwise, they'd be stoned for being a prude or a non-prude. Yep. Okay. The very stink and sweat that rises from your arse, glorying in the open shape of your upturned dress and white girlish drawers and in the confusion of your flushed cheeks and tangled hair. It allows me to burst into tears of pity and love at the same slight word, to tremble with love for you at the sounding of some chord or cadence of music, or to lie heads and tails with you, feeling your fingers fondling and tickling my bollocks, or stuck up in me behind.
Hey.
Ass play. Hey.
Nothing new under the sun, baby.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
you're hot.
You think like, you know, popping a prostate is a relatively recent innovation, but those cave people popping butt pussies, you know?
No, I know. I remember when,
you know what it was. You know cave people was butt fucking, shoving fingers up butts and stuff.
What else
so,
did they have to do?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember
so
when
why
I was
would it
a
be
kid,
surprising that James Joyce liked to finger up the butt, you know? Like,
yeah,
of course he did.
I remember when I was a kid and I just learned what blowjobs were, and then I like heard blowjobs in like a historical context, and I was like, they were doing that back then, but like, of course they were, you know what I mean? But, but up the butt, that still seems new, even though, tickling my bollocks or stuck up my behind and your hot lips sucking off my cock while my head is wedged in between your fat thighs, throwing shade, like fucking she caught, what is it?
Back then
fat hit,
right? Like,
right.
Yeah. Being a plump woman. That was fucking what's up. Now, ain't nothing wrong with it today either. I'm not saying, but I'm saying like back then it was like.
For me, that hit.
Back then they aspired to such, I believe. I mean, that's what I've always heard.
I believe too. And that's good because he continues, my hand clutching the round cushions of your bum and my tongue licking ravenously up your rank red cunt. Your rank red. Like that means stank, right? Rank.
Yeah. Rank red cunt.
You be nasty.
Yeah. That's intense.
It's one thing to call a woman fat, but calling her stinky, I don't know, but apparently that was a thing. I have taught you almost to swoon at the hearing of my voice, singing or murmuring to your soul the passion and sorrow and mystery of life, and at the same time have taught you to make filthy signs to me with your lips and tongue, to provoke me by obscene touches and noises, and even to do in my presence the most shameful and filthy act of the body. I don't know what that
means. He doesn't
clarify. He does not clarify.
All this other stuff he's just openly said. So like
shitting on his chest.
I'm about to say, like, what is the thing he's hiding? See, I said earlier, I brought up poop at some point because I thought that I remembered hearing.
Holy shit, he does go off. Holy shit.
I was about to say, I thought I remembered hearing that. I said, I knew he was a freak. And I thought it was poop stuff.
I hadn't read this far on. The most shameful and filthy act of the body. You remember the day you pulled up your clothes and let me lie under you, looking up at you while you did it. Then you were ashamed even to meet my eyes. You are mine, darling, mine. I love you. Holy, because I didn't read the whole thing. I got two lines in and I was like, I'm definitely reading this. Holy shit.
Woo. Yeah. Man's like to get pooped on.
Well, that makes the
and
next
also, like,
letter.
Apparently, if a man does like to get pooped on, pooping on him. That's a way to, that's straight to his heart, evidently, because it, you know, he was beset with affection for her after that moment. He's like, God damn, this is a real one here.
Yeah.
Not just anybody will poop on you, you know?
Yeah. Those are more extreme needs. Like if you're the guy that likes getting poop on, you need, like, I love a good old fashioned, you know, a good old Charleston, but I'm not going to like set my house on fire if I don't get it. I feel like, you know, if you are one that likes to be pooped on and someone don't like pooping on you, I mean, that's an immediate deal breaker. And also, like, brokering that subject is insane. That
especially
is
in like the Victorian
insane.
Era or whatever.
Yeah.
My only caveat to, because I was already thinking about that. I was like, dude, bringing that up now, it's like, what date do you bring that up? And when do you bring that into the equation now, let alone back then? But my only caveat to that, though, is back then, the
women
gender dynamics
things.
Were just so different, exactly, that men were, men could just, what was she going to do? I mean, I'm not saying he could force her to poop on him, but like, if she's like, no, she couldn't ruin him or nothing. You know what I mean? Like, men could just get away with pretty much anything. But that's the only way that any sense to me is that a man could be like, you know, because otherwise it's like, bro, how did that ever come up, you know? Or I guess you got to shoot your shot or else you ain't never gonna get pooped on, you know?
I think it's,
you know,
like
they say it was reported that OBJ liked to get pooped on. Do you know that?
LBJ or Odell Beckham Jr.?
OBJ. Odell Beckham Jr.
Either one is shocking to me.
LBJ, but, you know, loved to pull his wiener out and piss on stuff and things of that nature, but I don't think he was getting
pooped
on. And OBJ, I have no idea if that's true. That was a rumor. Some sex worker, some escort, you know, got a hold of TMZ or something and said that she
should be disbarred
from sex work. But maybe she wasn't. Yep. Maybe it was just some thought. I don't remember. Some girl went to TMZ and said, hey, I fucked around with OBJ, and guess what? He liked to be pooped on.
People do like to be having it done, and I don't think there's a rhyme or reason for who that affliction is going to be beset upon. Right. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's not insane to think that OBG don't like to get pooped on. Okay, so Jesus Christ. Oh, I think if you're going to bring up getting shit on by a lady, it has to be like Nelly did in the song, It's Getting Hot in Here. I'm just kidding, like Jason.
Unless you're going to do it.
Right. It has to be that. Like, you have to bring it up comically.
I just quoted that without saying I was quoting it, hoping that, like, I made a short video, like a 50-second video last week. It was when, I don't know if you saw it, but they've made a new flag. The MAGA crowd's made a new flag. It says Trump or death on it.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. I thought you meant the new thin yellow line for the tow truck industry.
No, it says Trump or death, right? They, like, unveiled it last week, and it was all the rage, just like on Thursday. So I made it like a 50-second video where I was like, oh, no, please don't. Imagine the impact on the flag economy, you know what I mean, or whatever. And then I basically said something like, you know, fucking go ahead. Shit, what did I say? I was like, oh, I said, like, you really make yourself sound culty. Like, you know what? I'll make the Kool-Aid for you. I'm from the trailer park. Right. I know how to make it right. I'll get the ratios right, whatever. I'll put pillows down for y'all. I'll make it real, real easy on you if that's really what you want to do. And then I said, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around. Unless you're going to do it.
Now everybody that's our age gets that. Everybody that's our age.
And I was hoping, I had this thing because I was like, I didn't want to, then go into like, just so everyone knows that, I wasn't going to do that. But I also was like, I really hope people take that as a reference.
An homage.
Because that's what it was meant to be, like a reference, as opposed to somebody being like, he's stealing that from Nelly or just not knowing what I meant or whatever. I was like, I really hope people get this.
Yeah. In my opinion, there's only two types.
It was funny to me to end it with a Nelly reference.
It's only going to be interpreted two different ways. It's going to be interpreted by first off, it makes sense even if you don't know the Nelly song. So a lot of people that don't know the Nelly song, your fans, the old, the decrepit, the hanging on by a claw, they're not going to have understood the reference, but so it'll still make sense. And any of the millennial people, to me, that is like, me and you say that to each other all the time, and me and my friends say that to each other all the time. I think that's enough of a cultural touchstone musically that, like, they will know that you know, and we're doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
Anyways, all this shitting on him talk really makes the next letter make way more sense. This is James Joyce as well. My sweet little whorish Nora. You had an arse full of farts last night, darling. Big, big fat fellows, long windy ones, quick little merry cracks, and a lot of tiny little naughty farties ending in a long gush from your hole. I think I would know.
I mean, I'm impressed just hearing about it. As somebody who appreciates farts, getting all those different varieties of farts.
Yeah.
From one butt in one evening.
Unconsciously. You know what I'm saying?
One night, like one session. That's impressive. Because normally it don't be like
usually,
that.
No, normally you have your one butt's type in one of gear. Fart. Yes, it is.
Right. Like, your butt gets in a certain gear, farts. And that's where you're at. You're like, okay, this is the kind of fart I got farting with right now.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest thing to just switch gears. So she was like letting all these fly in one
it's
night.
Unreal.
Pretty impressive. And a lot of
very versatile asshole this Nora had, I'll say. Lots of tiny little naughty farties ending in a long gush from your hole. I think I would know Nora's fart anywhere. Like, he just hears a fart and he's like, shit, Nora's here. I'd know that fart anywhere. I think I could pick hers out in a room full of farting women. It is a rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart, which I imagine fat wives. It is, if we read that again for everybody that couldn't hear my laughter, it is a rather girlish noise, not like the wet, windy fart which I imagine fat wives have. It is sudden and dry and dirty, like what a bold girl would let off in a school dormitory at night. I hope Nora will let off no end of her farts in my face so that I may know their smell also. Good night, my little farting Nora, my dirty little fuck bird. Never heard that one.
I think I could have come up with that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny because some of this, it's like, yeah, this is some real, erudite and articulate shit they're doing, in these letters, which makes it hit harder.
Yeah.
But then he comes out with dirty little fuck bird.
And, yeah, you know, I like that one.
Sort of sounds like a 12-year-old, but it hits for me.
I'm going to start saying good night, my little farting Amber, my dirty little fuck bird, and just see what she says. And she might just be like, yeah, that is exactly what I am. She'll fart. One lovely word, darling, you have underlined to make me pull myself off better. Write me more about that and yourself, sweetly, dirtier, dirtier. Love, Jim. He was not James.
When you talk about all this
Jim.
Fart and poop stuff, he's like, I'm Jim. Jim. I'm Jim, goddammit. Not James, not Jimmy. That's Jim talking. And that works. That tracks for me. Like, that's some Jim shit. Jim way more in farts than James.
Here's another one from James Joyce. he starts off with the same greeting. My sweet little whorish Nora, I did as you told me, you dirty little girl, and pulled myself off twice when I read your letter. I am delighted to see that you do like being fucked arseways. In other words, in the butt.
Yeah, right.
That hit for me. When you let me fuck your butt, I was like, hell yeah, my little fuck hurt. Oh, that sure did hit for me. Yes, now I can remember that night when I fucked you for so long backwards. It was the dirtiest fucking I ever gave you, darling. My prick was stuck in you for hours, fucking in and out under your upturned rump. I felt your fat, sweaty buttocks under my belly and saw your flushed face and mad eyes. At every fuck I gave you, your shameless tongue came bursting out through your lips. And if I gave you a bigger, stronger fuck than usual, fat, dirty farts came spluttering. If I gave you a bigger, stronger fuck than usual, fat, dirty farts came sputtering out of your backside. I think he was making that pussy fart for the Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I don't think that was butthole farts. I think that was queefs, which I'm for.
I don't know. This guy seems like he knows the difference. Well,
that's true. He said out of your backside, but he's saying if I gave you a stronger one, like that seems like, by the way, I've ever told you, I'm sure that I have, but I don't care. I think make that pussy fart for the Yin Yang Twins is also something that everybody our age knows. And I was in the kitchen one day and I was making myself a hot dog and I got the ketchup out and the ketchup went and Amber goes, ooh, make that ketchup fart for the Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah. Classic. The Yin Yang Twins. Hope they're doing okay.
Here he goes back to, you had an arse full of farts that night, darling, and I fucked them out of you. Big fat fellows, long windy ones, quick little merry cracks. He's kind of repeating himself here a little bit, and a lot of tiny little naughty fartings ending in a long gush from your hole. So he's running out of fart material and he's repeating.
Yeah, right.
So anyways, all right. Number four from James Joyce, still from James.
How many things you got?
This is the last one from James Joyce. And then I had one that was while I was researching this, I found a letter of people talking shit, but actually I would like to save that for next week. Cause I kind of want to research. Cause like Mark Twain had one too, of like these old school, like kind of like Twitter rebuttals between people, from the fancier time. So I'm going to save that. This is the last one. And I saved this for last because of the first fucking sentence. This is from James Joyce. As you know, dearest, I never use obscene phrases in speaking.
No. Jimmy buttfucker? Never.
You have never heard me, have you, utter an unfit word before others. When men tell in my presence here filthy or lecherous stories, I hardly smile. Yet you seem to turn me into a beast. It was yourself, you naughty, shameless girl, who first led the way. It was not I who first touched you long ago down at Ringsend. It was you who slid your hand down inside my trousers and pulled my shirt softly aside and touched my prick with your long, tingling fingers and gradually took it all, fat and stiff as it was, my man, into your hand and frigged me slowly until I came off through your fingers, all the time bending over me and gazing at me out of your quite saint-like eyes. It was your lips, too, which first uttered an obscene word. I remember well that night in bed in Pola. Tired of lying under a man one night, you tore off your chemise.
I don't know.
You tore off your chemise violently and began to ride me up and down. Perhaps the horn I had was not big enough for you, for I remember that you bent down to my face and murmured tenderly, "Fuck me up, love. Fuck me up." That's not as good as the other one, but I had to save it for last because of the first line. As you know, I normally don't say obscene things, but that's James Joyce, who, by the way, I got to tell you, I'm about to read so much of his work because that man can turn a phrase and a butthole.
Absolutely. Indeed he can. Yeah, that was some wild shit, literally.
You think people are going to be mad? You got some
hitting airmails, right?
I do have some hitting airmail. Do you think people are going to be mad at me for how graphic that was, or you think they're going to be understanding?
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess.
Okay. Subject line, Corey's wrong about serial killers and their detection. Hey, guys, what? I always...
Oh, that's right. We did. That's weird.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the fact we talked about that when we were talking about serial killers again earlier, but yeah.
It's a blur. Hey, guys, I always have many thoughts on every episode of POA, most of them high praise, of course, but I feel like Corey might find it interesting to know how wrong he is, LOL, on the subject of serial killers and how easily they're caught. I might be ruining your ability to sleep at night for the rest of your lives, and I hope not, but I'm telling you this shit anyway, since I already know it. The October 2019 Atlantic article I'm linking here is a quick and entertaining, if highly disturbing, read, but the gist of it is captured well in this quote. Quote, Thomas Hargrove, the founder of the Murder Accountability Project, a nonprofit that compiles data on homicide, has examined how many unsolved murders are linked by DNA evidence. He believes that at least 2% of murderers are committed by serial offenders, translating to about 2,100 unidentified serial killers. Michael Arntfield, a retired police detective and the author of 12 books on serial murder, agrees that the FBI's projections are off. He blames patchy data, among other things, but thinks the number of active serial killers is more like 3,000 or 4,000. Thanks for your awesome show, and stay fancy, motherfuckers. Jasmine, and you can read my name if you end up reading this on the show. Well, Jasmine, thank you, and yes, you're right. You have just fucked me up. I don't like that.
Yeah, it... I mean, 3,000? That's a huge number.
There's how only 36 those... quarterbacks, Trey.
Right, there's only 50 states, you know, right. So how many in each state? A bunch. 60? All right, yeah. But anyway, like... If they tied two corpses together, like in terms of technique in the 70s, does that guy count even if it's never happened again since then? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, how many of them are open? Yeah. I mean, these, like, you know what I mean? Like,
if you tied two corpses together, you can make some pretty funny nunchucks.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Subject line, Corey is the man, unless you don't read this, then you're a liberal bitch. Also,
they're catching on to you.
They're catching
sure.
on, buddy, and I love it. Medieval. That's how Oliver Platt says it in the movie Ready to Rumble. I'm going to make you my medieval puppy dog bitch. Medieval paper, rock, scissors. I forgot we brought this up. You and Trey were talking about medieval paper, rock, scissors, and and came up with a horse and mace, but didn't have the third. In my opinion, which isn't worth a shit, would be hay. Horses eat hay. Hay absorbs blow from mace. And of course, mace kills horse. That's not bad. Also, in talks of medieval torture, this is more modern day. I wish my sick mind could take credit for this, but seen it on the interwebs. So you put the subject in a glass room and the whole floor is a treadmill. What the
fuck? What? No, no, you're lying.
I swear to God. Okay. I swear to fucking God.
Then here's what happened. You read
my buddy,
that,
no,
and got it conflated with the thing with your buddy or something.
No, Trey. You want me to prove? You want me to fuck it? Hold on. Stay here. I'm going to prove right now that is not fucking true. That is not what happened. It just
is
means
this
that
email
my buddy
from your buddy who didn't know he was going to run into you.
Call him. No, it's not. It's not. I swear to God, it's not. He don't know how to fucking email, dude. He was in the war. Hold on.
All right, so basically, you're looking at a treadmill, right? Mm-hmm. But it's sandpaper. So.
I recorded his ass saying all this earlier. And this is not him. This is not him at all. Like, this is from, I ain't gonna say his name, but it's not from him. Thomas did tell me, he said, afterwards, this was inspired by something I once saw, but I made it more graphic, right? So
they saw the same thing.
They saw the same thing, but I was like, how the fuck have two people heard of this torture thing that I didn't get when I was reading my torture shit? But anyway, well, I'm not going to read this because, you know, we've...
super wild, though.
That's super wild.
That's a crazy intense Bader-Meinhof phenomenon.
The stuff that I can tell by reading this, the stuff that Thomas added was the heat and stuff like that, and putting the spikes on the walls. And Thomas also said that he, how did I not? I'll send you this audio file, but Thomas also said that he would be filtering in dead fish and fart smells. I forgot that. Okay, last one. And I'm so glad that we're back to this. Remember, puttingonairs@gmail.com. I want to read all your emails, but if it's a fucking limerick, I'm definitely going to. Subject line, more limericks for that ass. Hey, dudes, just stretching my pen again for you. Read it or don't, but I thought I might steal a laugh from you. Offensive is great for a bit. Our thanks for not throwing a fit. Our insides aren't dead, lest it always be said, 9/11 and Hitler don't hit.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Thomas says that.
Love it.
In that recording, by the way. He's talking about how much 9/11 and Hitler don't hit. All right. No souls in those pieces of meat, fluffy dumpsters from head to feet. Not just a part-time hobby. When I say, can you fly Bobby, firmly grasp the squirrel and then yeet.
Yeet.
And he said, can you fly Bobby is a RoboCop reference. And I know that because I just got through watching RoboCop. Last one here. Corey and Trey stay dropping hits, well-read POA and comedy bits. From Scotland to France, best believe they hold hands, but swear it's not gay to touch lips. Love y'all, Ross. No, he said great. Touch lips, not lips.
Yeah.
Even gayer. Oh, even my gayer. God. Well, man, this was a knock fucking fun episode, Trey. And
it was.
I want you to tell everybody right now where they can see you in the next couple days.
This weekend, I'm in Austin, Texas at Vulcan tonight and tomorrow night, if you're listening, Friday and Saturday. Then after that, I got a big-ass Ohio run in Lexington, Kentucky, and a bunch of places afterwards. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Also at TreyCrowder.com, you can pre-order our book, Round Here and Over Yonder, coming out next week, very soon.
That's right. That's right. Do that. I am going to be headlining the Lookout Comedy Festival in Chattanooga, Tennessee on October the 19th, I believe. I think you can get those tickets at lookoutcomedyfestival.com, it's in Chattanooga. You can Google stuff, and also I'll send the link to Dad so he makes sure it's down there. Come see me, Chattanooga. Hometown show. Haven't done one in a while. I'm super pumped. And also, yes, please, if you do nothing else that we tell you, go pre-order the book Round Here and Over Yonder. That link is also in the description. And if you got an extra $5 laying around, I do stuff at parttimefunnyman.com, audio dramas, all that stuff. But the most important thing of all time is that you stay
fancy,
motherfuckers. How about that?
Skew. Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs. Putting on airs. Putting on airs.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.